Hello, everybody. This is Rob Fredette with the podcast HodgePod, and I'm going in a different direction on this episode today. I have Michael McGrew from Los Angeles. I'm here in Memphis, Tennessee, and we're going to be talking about some different facets of life. He has appeared on hundreds of podcasts, and he has a take on life and just things in general that I really, really want to get out here on my podcast. And Michael, thank you very much for joining me. I'm really looking forward to talking to you tonight.
Thanks, Rob, for giving me a canvas to paint.
No problem. Hey, anything I can do to help. And I've listened to you on a lot of episodes that you've been on podcasts around the country. And I love the take that you have. So first of all, tell us, you're an artist. What is that like being an artist? And what does it do to mean to create? And talk more about that, and then we'll get into our discussion.
I was born in Vienna, Austria. I was a sick child. And basically, it wasn't like I said, oh, I want to be an artist, and now I'm going to be an artist. It was like, okay, I was sick. I got held back till 7, and then I got into school and got the second punch in the face where I could not read, stuttered. I couldn't regurgitate. I understood, but couldn't regurgitate. And the blessing 40 years ago was, 45 years ago was, okay, you're neurodivergent. That's you're dyslexic. That's all they said. But you still have to read. You still have to speak. You still have to regurgitate. And that's what the stuff that I couldn't do. And so what helped me was I loved music. And, you know, like everybody, you know, it saved a lot. I want to see how much lives. Art saved. You know, you hear a song, you see a movie, and it makes you live. You know, it makes you decide to live, not end it. And art did the same for me. It saved my life, literally. And at first, I was interested in the art, and then I wanted to create something. And even that started horrible because I learned I wanted to be a guitarist like Jimi Hendrix, in Europe then, 45, 50 years ago, you had to learn classical. This is what the system told you. Mm-hmm. I mean, insanity. You have to learn classical music first before you can actually use an electric guitar. Of course, I worked, you know, overtime and whatever to get an electric guitar when I was 12. But I wasn't allowed. So I hit it and played light. And then I found out after 2 years, I make no progress in the classical even. And I said, what the hell is going on? And it was because I'm also, with dyslexia, I'm dysgraphic, which my hand-eye movement is, my hand-brain movement doesn't work correctly. So that was really another shock. And I said, okay, then I'm not an artist. I'm not going to have to play an instrument. And then a friend of mine said to me, hey, Mike, the percussionist is out. Can you just play the drums? And you just have to play the cowbell. Just bump, bump, bump. Very simple. And I start virtuosing. I'm freaking out on the drums. I'm freaking out. I made color like percussion. And actually was invited by so many people to play with them because I had the wrong instrument for me. Because everyone is one of one. There's no second Rob or no second Michael on this earth. 8 billion people, and we are only one of ones.
That's right.
And we are not like many. And we are not like many. And that's the key that I learned from this. Obviously, I was not conscious of that. I just thought, you know, that's life. That's what happened. You know, you're not in your body when you're young and when you can't really play the game. And that's how. And then I started DJing. And I've got a little money there. And then I started selling tapes out of my trunk. Then I started fashion shows. I searched about the music. Then I created fashion shows. And then I was only in creative fields. But as I told you, I was just surviving moment to moment. And then when I was 30, I had to fill out a new CV for my new job. And I looked at my previous, I wanted to really get a job. And I looked at the previous and I said, oh my God, everything is art. I couldn't even do anything not art. So I decided, which was a pivotal moment, and I want want the people, once you get that, there's something I got. Okay, I don't care whatever anybody says, but it couldn't be anything else. So I'm an artist. And I deemed myself an artist, not waited till, 20 people say you're the greatest, or the system says you're Taylor Swift, go on, we can all make money from you. So once that changed me a lot, because that made me work in television. That had me, Robert Evans, who did The Godfather, was the longest president of Paramount, actually asked for me because he wanted to do a documentary, and I was in the documentary business. And then then I got also to be elected Newport Beach Arts Commissioner by 6 councilmen from 7, and the 7 didn't know me, and had no education in art, had nothing. But I think when I said to myself, I'm an artist, I wasn't showing off or lying, because I can't do that with my neurodiversity. I was just, that's what it is. And I have no idea why I got Robert Evans, got me. I have no clue. I didn't beg. I didn't beg to be an arts commissioner. I didn't try to manipulate anybody. It just happened. And I talked to a lot of successful people, and there's no pattern, because if there was a pattern, we would have success like we have that. We have a cell phone, right? If there was a pattern that everybody could use, we would have it.
Right.
So there is none. So it happens. And what I learned in that with the art creation is it taught me my self-esteem, because even if the society says you are neurodiverse, you are crazy, you can't do anything, when you create something, even your podcast, right?
Yep.
Even if I say you have the bad podcast or the best podcast, it doesn't really matter either way, because I can't take the growth that you had creating a podcast. I cannot say, you're a horrible podcast. I said, and most often when the people say you are horrible or good, they don't do anything themselves. So the judges and artists will never say you're a horrible artist. Only the non-artist will tell you you're a horrible artist. Only the non-podcast will say your podcast is horrible or great. Because, every podcast is great because it's what we do. It's fun. It's dancing with people. It's helping humanity. It's an awesome thing. But the people said, I've got to get your prize or whatever. And you get the prize, and next day you have to do the next podcast. So what? Nothing changed, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned music earlier. Music. What kind of music do you like? I'm a big music fan myself. What kind of music do you like? And one thing I like about music is you could be having a horrible day and you hear one song that's one of your favorites, and it can turn your mood just like that. Music is definitely the doctor, as the Doobie Brothers said. It changes your mood. What did you think? What about music? What do you like in music? And what do you think about music changing the mood or getting your day reassigned or realigned?
I think what it is like a person. There's certain people, and usually you marry that person. It gets you in the combination with it, with the music or the person. It gets you in your essence, in your, where you are balanced. And when the human is balanced, it's not disturbed, system relevantly disturbed, but just saying, it gets you in your oneness. And that's why you feel good. And when the music, hits you. And it's funny because I'm studying that, because I'm all about art creation. I have my own podcast, 30 seconds. That's all about every Saturday. It's all about art creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I never worry about the product. The product, it's the art of making. I'm focusing right now to dance the best way. I'm not worrying about how can we make it that a lot of people listen to us. That's bullshit, So when I think about music, it brings you, and I'm studying it, and it's always different. I have a whole mixed tape from Miles Davis to very simple punk to
yep.
Sex Pistols to Erykah Badu and Glasper. Who else I like really much? Robert Glasper I really like. I always hear new music. I always hear... Because I can, even in my taste, I don't like repetitions, but I have my favorites. And when I am in a certain mood, I just go through the favorite. And my body tells me that's what you need right now. And yeah. That's what I play. And it builds me up. So even though I like heavy metal, but I hardly play heavy metal, and then heavy metal comes in, and I only need heavy metal. I can't listen to anything else.
I agree.
And then I listen to opera, and then I listen to classical music. And so it's a great tool because we are all artists. Every human is an artist. It just hasn't used the muscle. It's like you want to run a marathon. You can't. But if you train, you can. And we have that muscle because art is the blueprint of humanity, of how, what's possible and how it's possible. So if I have an idea about a play or a music, I am going to select people and I will try this band, I will try that band. And then I have a constellation, all of a sudden the band works. So it shows me, it teaches me that you just don't have to have system relevant experts, the best guitar player and the best drummer and the best, doesn't matter. It's what fits together energetically. Like you said, you know, you love music and all kinds of music and that's what happens. So it teaches you art creation is exponentially more powerful than the product.
I agree.
I don't care if you're a Van Gogh and say, you know, or Leonardo da Vinci and say, I did this. Do you think Leonardo da Vinci would care that he's the most famous? He doesn't care if it's the most famous painting in the world. And he probably, I don't know how much he loved creating it, but this, it shows you how surfacey it is because no one talks about the background of Mona Lisa. That's the total bomb. And I wrote that in my last book. It's the total bomb, the background of it's not she. She is an average face and just has the eyes that look at you all the time, but that's a trick. But the background is like a freaking outer space or something. Nobody talks about it because everybody says, okay, Rob said Mona Lisa is best. Yeah, I said it too. You know?
You mentioned music. There are days I just feel like listening to 60s. There's other days where I'll listen to classical. There's days where I don't want to listen to rock and roll. I'll listen to 80s pop. And other times I want to listen to grunge. So you got to have that variety. And that's what's all in the palm of our hands with our phones. We can make our own radio stations and it can turn your mood. So I want to talk about teamwork because teamwork is very important in any facet on a sports team, just anything, anything that has two people or more, that's a team, and anybody who's on a team has to work together. And it doesn't matter if you're Michael Jordan on the Chicago Bulls, he was the greatest player of all time, but he had a team around him that helped him get his championship. I played basketball in high school, and it was all about the team. The coach didn't care if you were the best player or the 12th player. Everybody did the common goal of winning. And I think teamwork is so important that it's a way to succeed in life. What's your thought on that?
First of all, because I was asthmatic and sick, I only created a ultimate frisbee team because that's the only sport I could do. And I was riding motorcycles trial races with when trial was not acrobatic. Not today, you can compete with trial motorcycles because it's acrobatic primarily. So what I found, and I'm a natural leader because I'm very good with humans and because I dance with them. I don't put any human above me or below. Even older people, I don't, you know, they have dementia or whatever. I never talk down to them. When I see kids, I talk horizontal. I talk to them like adults. And never say, oh, you little blah, blah, blah. And the kids are phenomenal. You can only learn from kids because they're so smart. Because they're still not physical yet. You know, they just came from birth and getting into this physical body. So they're learning what it is to be physical. And I think sports teamwork is essential. I'm working on an educational project because I had no education. And my thing is to learn what it is to be human first before you learn that, you know, the things that you and I find after our age, what it is to be human, right? What is important and what is not. I want to teach kids that before. I said, what is it to be one of one? What is it to be a part of nature? What is it to be that you can talk to an animal, that you can interact with an animal, that you don't have the same language? And I have two There's only four that art education I have. Team sports, because it shows you the masculine, the organization. Because all humans like to organize. That's a grace of us that we have. Everyone has that. Even if the the messy person. We have a thing of grace. I want to teach a team theater, and I want both teams to do both. So I wanted to do the quarterback sitting in there and knitting old woman, playing an old woman, because we didn't have anybody else, so the quarterback plays that. In reverse, then when the artist said, no, I don't want a sports, it's so violent, whatever. I said, no, then do, you know what? You're an artist, then make the T-shirts, do the laundry, be the referee. So I want them to not segregate in what systems segregate in gender, race, sexuality, whatever. I want them to play for both. I also want them to have an animal, because a pet, because they need to see, and even if that's just a turtle in the water or a fish, I want them to see to have a pet. And then we have awareness where we discuss all our experiences. We discuss after the football game or after the tennis game. We discuss after the play, after the common music, and we discuss how to deal with the animal and how they feel about it. You know, when somebody says, oh, all the girls are weak, I want them to discuss that. Why are they weak? All the men are you know, mean, I want to discuss them with me so that they see we can dance with each other. I want to make them experience, not teaching them. Teaching is BS. You got to experience. You cannot know anything till you experience. I can read 5 books on not burning my hand on the hot stove. Once I burned myself a little bit, or almost, I never have to read another book. I know it. Once you know, we can read, you know how many books there are about love. You know that, right? Yeah. There's like endless. And if you never felt love, what do these books do to you? So sports is explicit, but I'm like art, it's getting too system relevant. So remember the old days where you really had a team forever and they all stayed in the team, right? In the Boston Celtics or something. Everybody was sticking in the Lakers or whatever. And today it's just like, where's the superstar going? Which segregates all humans, because he's not a part of the team anymore. He's just a superstar that is sit in this, above average players, and let's see if it works or if it doesn't. And I think that's really bad for team playing, because it's not, they cannot experience how they built themselves all up. They can just say, okay, today, Rob, you are our quarterback. Let's do it. And, you didn't deliver, or it didn't work. We didn't talk to each other. Let's go. Next one. You're fired, or you're exchanged. So I think it's very important for humans to experience, not what they get paid or what people like or whatever, because you know the viewers don't like it when everybody's changed. They like all the 10 guys are theirs, you know, and because it's their family. If you say, I like whatever, the Globetrotters, then that's your thing. If you like whatever, you don't want to change. That's when you have something good. I understand people retire and all that stuff, but I think just to change on a nickel of a dime, you know, like a stock, I think it's really bad for the human part of being in the team.
Yeah.
And everybody has to be, like you said it, everybody has to be horizontal. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you did not. Horizontal, when you think of a team, it's about picking each other up. No one person on the team or no person on the team is the same. Everybody's different. They all have a common goal. And if you lose, you learn from it and you bond together to get the win. I have a funny story. In high school, my junior and senior years, we lost 4 games. And I remember the games we lost. I remember how we lost. I remember the score. I don't remember the games we won. I remember the failing part because we had lost those games. And I could tell you the score and how we lost. And it's fascinating how failure or losing at times can help you get motivated with a team or just even get motivated for yourself. But it's amazing when failure can really galvanize you to succeed.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Failure is actually winning. So failure because they're the cobblestones to success. I mean, if you have never failed, you cannot be just successful. But the cobblestones of humanity to get successful is having as many failures as you can to learn from the failures. And in nature, there's no failures, only in humans. Only the system made failure shameful. And see, this is failing is I'm trying. I'm going to get there. I want to get to that point. But it's trying. Let's try this, Rob. Let's do this. Let's check this out and try. Not, oh, we are horrible. Everybody yells at each other. Oh, it was Rob's fault. It was Michael's fault. You know what I mean? It's segregating. When you shame through failure and mistakes, you segregate humanity because it's a blaming game and a finger pointing game. And I love that. I always look at nature because we are part of nature, right? So I always look at nature for the real truth. We're like gravity. We don't need to discuss gravity. It's given. And the same is human centricity. It just accept we are part of nature, 8 billion people with 8 billion different life perspectives. And we are a collaborative creator animal of that nature. Because we do New York, Singapore, Google, Apple, everything is collectively done. It's not Bill Gates did that. No, he was just a figurehead. But everybody else helped him doing this. But this system shows, you know, when we honor you, when we gratify you, then actually the system has to pay you less. See, when I say, okay, you're a soldier and you sacrificed your life and this whole thing, whatever, and I give you the Purple Heart, that doesn't make good for that you never got paid enough and that we don't care when you come back. Mm-hmm. You know, so any honor, you know, right now it's really bad because systems don't want to pay you because we're in a collective lack. It's never enough. Everybody feels that from a billionaire to the beggar because we have a flawed financial principle of enough is not valued. And when everybody feels that, now the systems even give you titles. You are executive, whatever, broom carrier for the janitor, and give you a title for paying less. You know, and from you know you have a hard time as it is with a low paying job. Now I give you a title as manager, some manager or whatever, to make you feel better. But it is using humanity to actually pay less. You know. And to play not enough and actually amplifies the whole thing, especially when people say, oh, I'm this now. No, you're perfect as you are because nature doesn't make a mistake. You're one of 8 billion. How much better can you be? You know, how much better can you be?
Yeah, I agree. And when you speak about teamwork, you got to have a leader. I've worked for some leaders in my career. And I've had a few rough patches, and I had one tell me, a superior tell me one time, feel sorry for yourself for 5 minutes and move on. And I use that years after hearing that. If I have a rough patch, just feel sorry for yourself for 5 minutes and move on. Now, what's your thoughts on that? Because every day you need a leader, and if you have a leader that's leading you, the leader will collaborate with you. If they care, they're going to help develop you. And then also, a leader will also promote you as well for advancement. And that's the meaning of a true leader. What are your thoughts on having a true leader working for you, working for one?
When you look at nature, the leader of a wolf pack is the last one. It's never the first one. The leader in my experience that I had 60 plus years is the person that keeps all plates spinning. I think that's the best metaphor. Because he's not saying, oh, I want to just keep the green plates spinning. But I want to, and that's why I like what he said to you. And he said exactly what you needed to hear. If he says that to me, it might not be to you. But he is sensitive enough to see everybody's one of one. And I can't say this to Rob, but I can't say it to Phil. And this is what a leader, true leader does. He keeps every plate spinning. Some people, they need praise, even the and I think that's also not really a strong leader because not just try to manipulate that person, but the leader needs to find the strengths of that human being because everybody's one of one and then amplify the strengths. I said, you know, don't put him in a position where he has, you have a person that cleans perfectly. I'm from the restaurant business, so that's where I could actually be in a system. And I'm from the restaurant, and they said, okay, you have a dishwasher that is great, okay? And you have a cook that is shitty. And then you keep the cook, and you take the dishwasher and pull it into and say, okay, let me try you to be an assistant to the cook. It's completely confusing. When you have the best dishwasher, that dishwasher is done. That's one plate that's spinning. When you have a bad cook, try to get another cook. Say, okay, let's taste that. Let's all taste what you do and why you do it. Not saying you're a good cook or a bad cook, but if everybody says, let's try it out and let's all talk, the whole kitchen. Let's talk and not about it's bad or good. And said, why did you put cilantro in this? That doesn't even, it doesn't make a sense. And then you explain it to us. And then if we can see that, see, this is like an artist. When an artist creates and has untitled paintings, I think it's the worst cop-out. You know, write down what you mean, what you want to communicate. Then we can say, yes, I can see it, or I have no clue. He said that's a fire truck, and I don't even see red or anything. You know, we try to get away with stuff, and we should not be trying to get away. It's about dancing with each other, communicating, saying the good and the bad, and never think that a leader is up. And never, a leader is a team position. It's not, you need a leader that keeps everybody spinning, but not to lead in order. Yeah. That never works.
You know, a leader has, in the food, I worked in the food business. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Because if you can work in the food business, you can work in any business, because it is the business that'll test your character, test your patience. And going out, and if you're outside of the food business, that time you worked in the food business, it will definitely harden your skin, harden your thoughts, and you'll learn to deal with situations. You have talked about leaders that I've had great collaboration with in the past that helped develop me as I was moving through the ranks in my younger days. I'm still friends with, I still communicate with them, text them on a regular basis. And then I've worked for other people who are leaders. One day everything was great, and then the next day they would come in and say, well, something was off, and it's like, what happened in 24 hours? And then I had other ones that would just like ignore you. So if they ignore you, you know what's going on with that. That's if they ignore you or give you the silent treatment, that's a red flag.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I say there's a danger. When somebody's a leader for years and is celebrated as a leader by system, that's a super dangerous thing. Because you lift that person, and you see it with all the celebrities, right? Elon Musk and Bill Gates, you see it with all them. When you artificially put them up unnaturally, because in nature there's no difference between animals. There's not one ape that is so much, there's so much difference between one ape and all the other animals. Like what we have systemically in artificial environment, like with Elon, for example, or Jeff Bezos. This is extremely unnatural. And also, because the system says, once you're a leader, you're free. And most people want to be a leader because they want to be themselves. They are one of one. And the moment they become a leader, the system sees, okay, this guy can make money. And you have 20 people that surround you that tell you, oh, Rob, you're the greatest. Oh, we got to take care of that, whatever. Then after a while, you are so afraid of losing A, your position, your income, and you know that you're disconnected from humanity, from your team. You're disconnected from it. And then you don't talk to it because you can't even handle it. You can't even talk to you anymore. It, because they are in this artificial position of up there, and they want to just get the accolades and the money to pay their expensive house and their expensive cars, but really it doesn't make them happy. So basically all humanity strives, the lower strives to be the leaders. The leaders cannot go down anymore and are afraid to lose that position. So all humans have the same blindness, which is the collective saying it's never enough, whatever we do. And that is because of flawed principles. That's before capitalism. Flawed financial principles that only punish you. Mm-hmm. You don't pay your taxes, you're punished. Have you ever gotten, Rob, have you gotten a letter, even a letter, where they say, Rob, we are so proud of you and we thank you so much that you paid your taxes for the last 5 years? That's what I'm saying. And why can't they not even say that? You know, that would make such a change in people. But they don't even see, because it's all because they are hustling to get enough for the IRS. They get enough. Everybody that wants to, that's why everybody wants you indebted. Because indebted gives you an entitlement and not a dance with other human, and it segregates. Mm-hmm. Indebted and segregates people. And it makes us all, it puts it, because what happens when you push a person, an animal in a corner? The sweetest animal is biting you. And we are all, by that, it's never enough, no matter what we do, we all put in the corner, from the billionaire to the beggar. Because the billionaire and the beggar, if you tell me that's supposed to be, 80% of their life, they think about money. The beggar and the billionaire. Do you think that's the purpose of life? To think 80% of money? And we all do. We all do exponentially wrongly think about it's never enough. What can I do? And nobody tells you what to do because we're all in the same boat. So we got to change, not change, update the financial principles where you say, okay, what is a financial value proposition of enough? Mm-hmm. You know, and not it has to be, I mean, you make $10,000 a month. You're fine. Do you have to make 20, 30, 40? Can you not be happier instead of making more money? Can you not be more fulfilled and say, I have 10 grand. I'm happy financially and I want to expand myself. I want to do more podcasts. I want to talk to more people. I want to mm-hmm. dance with more humans because that's the only thing that's fulfilling, actually dancing with humans, not segregating from them.
I agree. You are 100% on with that. You know, every day is a gift. Yes. And the challenge every day is to get back up after you've been knocked down. I mean, life is hard. Thoughts on the daily grind of life? Because some days it's hard and other days it seems to be okay. But it's the days that are hard that really are really important. But even though they're hard, I still believe every day's a gift.
That's the highest truth that you just spoke. Every day is a gift because it's about, that's why when you say, how are you? And I said, I'm alive. I'm not saying I'm good or bad because I don't want to go into lying a contest or pretending or anything. I just say I'm alive. And I think I was till 50, 55. I was hitting the wall, Rob. I was got all the system accolades, was never happy. A week after Robert Evans invited me to live in his house and because we co-produced something, I thought, oh my God, because all my friends called me, whoa, you working for them? Whoa, whoa. And I said, what the hell am I doing? That's why I'm so good talking about what leaders go through, is because I experienced it. Because I was afraid after a week or two, how can I be relevant? How can I keep that position? Because when the movie is over, it's over, you know? So how can I keep it? And I was really depressed and I didn't enjoy the time. I loved him. We had a really great friendship. But the process of it, because I would have enjoyed the process, but because the system relevance says you gotta be number one, you can't lose it. And that's why you see really favored people that when they lose their fame, you know, their 15 minutes, they do abnormal things just to get in the fame again. You know, they do infamous things because we are so conditioned over generations that you have to be system relevant. And really, that's, you have to be human centric first and know what that is. And systems are our artwork, our collective artwork. We're playing in them. But it's not the reality. The reality is we are part of nature and we need to dance with each other. We are all in the same boat. We can't get out. That's what the thing is.
And you know, just real quick, while you were talking about the leader part earlier, a leader is going to lead you through the obstacles of life or through the business or through your career. A person who's not a leader will not do that. So that, I guess that's the way to look at a leader. A leader is going to lead you through the obstacles of your career, maybe help you out, give you guidance, critique, you know, constructive criticism. Those are the leaders you want to work for because you'll be successful. And like I said earlier, there are leaders who I worked for in the past that I'm still friends with, I communicate all the time with, and those are the people you want to surround yourself with, great leaders.
And they're horizontal, Rob. They're horizontal. They never think they're better than you. No. They say, my job is a leader. My job is a leader, right? It's like, it's not, my job is not to be above Michael and Rob. My job is also not, if Michael and Rob are superstars, not to kiss them their asses, you know? Every human that works with each other is horizontal. And because you are the president of the United States, doesn't make you better. It just, your uniqueness and your skill or whatever got you to be the president, but it doesn't make you better. You're just more system relevant in an environment that's unnatural. So, you know, if you're a leader in nature, you're probably a real true leader, but in systems, you know, there's so many other things that you think. So everyone, I don't care if you're the best surgeon or whatever, but I don't even think about myself being better because I have experienced that or whatever. No. And I don't care what I did 25 years. You know, people say, oh, I am that. I'm not a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I worked in film. I worked in television. But today's film is completely different. It changes.
A lot different.
So I would never say, you got to listen to me because I worked with this guy. I was the city arts guy. No, you don't have to listen to anything I say. When we talk, we dance. And we dance, and nobody is the expert. We just open each other's unique perspective on life, which we all have a different one. And in that dance, I learn more, you learn more, or confirm more, you know? And that gives you self-esteem, self-confidence. And with this, we lift our collective human potential.
I agree, absolutely. What about AI? AI has really become in the forefront the last few years, and it's really getting like on steroids now. You're hearing about it all the time, and you're seeing like deep fakes or AI now impersonating people and things like that. What is AI going to be like maybe 5 years from now in 2029, you think, or 2030? What is it going to be like? Because I think AI can definitely do things to help us live better, to help cure disease, and you don't really hear about that or things of that nature.
So, you know, I wrote a lot. I'm almost finishing a book on AI, and I have no clue about AI. I just try it. I use it and try to use it. But I'm not a technician. I can, you know, have a hard time with my computer, like everybody. So I am not a technician. So from the technical side, I don't know nothing. But my first article was, what, and you can all get all my articles on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. What's supposed to be AI doing about humans? I know AI is the same as, you know, when the computer started. Right? When the computer started, everybody says, it's going to make you think. The people talk to me when the computer age, they said, what are you going to do with all the time and money you're going to make when you have a computer? Mm-hmm. And then the result is we actually do 5 to 8 times more output per human. Have you got more output, more time and money? 8 times since you have a computer? I didn't. I've not heard one person that says, once I had the computer, I had 5 to 8 times more time, and I had 5 to 8 times more income because your output is more. So you are a better worker bee with the computer. And because of technology, we can do scheduling automatically and all that stuff. Now that's gonna be exponentially with AI. It does the system. It makes us better system workers. But that, what does it do to us? And this is what AI wants to sell. It sells it's going to make us happy. AI cannot make us happy. And AI cannot, because everybody is one of one, because AI looks at humans as a species, not as, humans are a species, but that species defines itself by being one of one with their unique life perspective. So one of one physically, DNA, fingerprints, eyes, and then emotionally and stuff, every human has a different life perspective. Just look at your family. Now, what you want to do, what can AI do, which I ask always in all these seminars, and I said, can AI help us to find faster and easier, or drive us in the direction of what my individuality is? I mean, put in and say, hey, look at Rob and Michael and give them what their uniqueness is. Not what their system, they're good in typing or whatever. No, that's bullshit. I want to know what is human-centrically, what is Rob's and Michael's uniqueness? You can help us with that? I love AI. But you can't? Then call it what it is. It makes us better worker bees for the system, again. And everything that's systemic is erasing humanity and segregating it. Because even if you win in a system, because it's win and lose, you segregate humans. Human-centrically, when you work together like this, like that's why I love podcasting. It's right. So human-centric. Because it's not about, okay, Rob, I tell you what to do. Or you say, no, Michael, you're wrong. You know, that's called politics, which is a system-relevant talk that is a complete waste of time. Because it's just system relevant. I'm going to raise taxes, I'm lower taxes. So what? What does that mean? You know, why do you raise taxes? Why can you lower taxes? You know, and when have you heard the last politician say about humans? I can't remember. I can recall the last time I heard, I said, the American people, it's a generalization. The humans, generalization. But they don't even say humans. They don't speak. I think the human condition would be that, you know, in America, people like to have their food. Something. But I've never even heard it in that context. I have not heard humans speaking about, and, you know, the politicians, because I was one. So what is the politician's purpose? The politician's purpose is to navigate systems and humans, to be the interface between systems, system relevance, and human centricity, to help how we can deal it so the system can serve. That's why we started systems in the first place, serve every human. Not every human as a collective, but every single unique one-on-one human. So you got to make systems that are that fancy that they can, saying, okay, Rob is different than Michael. You know, and you know, they're Bobo's man, but what else can I help them? Because Rob is a specialist in this, and I'm a specialist in that, and I am neurodiverse, Rob is not neurodiverse, you know, it's just, how can they do this? And we can do that. We need to update. I'm not against systems at all. I think we need to update systems, and again, we come to the loop. Systems are not updated, most of them. That's why we have wars, because, you know, it comes disruption, bankruptcy, war. So when disruption doesn't work, then bankruptcy works. And when bankruptcy doesn't, you know, nobody buys the business, nobody builds it, then we have war. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only thing to reset the system to make it new. I just read that they have 800 billion contracts in Ukraine already. So that's a reset. That is, war is completely, it's not human-centric. In nature, there is no war. And we fight wars that because the CEOs, the leaders of the states screwed up. If in any business a leader screws up like that, you're fired, whatever. But because they're elected, they're not fired. And they drive every human because they are so segregated. I told you, they're so lifted up. They're so segregated of losing it. They say, I'd rather make a war because then all the evidence disappears and we just can restart all over. But you're doing that on the thing of people, of humans. You're doing this on the basis of humans.
Yeah. It's, you know, you had mentioned technology earlier, yet I'm not technically advanced like some, or more than folks, but I had to get on my phone because the Zoom wasn't working on my computer, so I had to use the backup plan. I had to use my phone for this podcast. So it just, technology, sometimes it's good for me and sometimes it's not. So you said you had a 30-second podcast, weekly podcast. How do you, how long does it take you to do it? And I listened to a couple of them today. Is that the shortest podcast on the podcast universe?
I can't do it because of my neurodiversity. It takes me a long time. Like, it probably takes me as long as you doing an episode, because I, you know, have to tape it and then edit it and then write it first. And I want to just say, you know, one sentence or two and say, and make you aware about, you know, I don't want to cater to specific somebody.
Right.
I want to cater to all creators, because I'm preaching and showing people what I can do in the arts, for example, that should be done in medicine. That should be, because all people can use it. What does it help if the system is only good for blind people? You know, or it's only good for people with a heart attack, or it's only good people, for entrepreneurs and not for artists. You know, it's just the generalization is what segregates us. And, you know, the sad thing about war, I just have to say that because I wrote an article about this, and it's, I realized, you know, you get punished, right? And that's, again, it's never enough. You get punished when you don't pay your taxes, but you know that you're financing to kill other humans with your tax money. So you're working really hard to pay your taxes, and then somebody decides to take that tax. I mean, it's not their money. It's easy. Mm-hmm. You know, you and me can have a war. It's easy if we don't have to pay for it, right?
Yep.
Like, it's insane. So they taking the money that's, and to kill, I don't want to be, you know, there must be a choice in this that you say, I want to support wars, that whatever, that's not for America, it's for the whole world. I want to pay my taxes, obviously, because that's what we all do. I want to pay the taxes, but I don't want to support wars. That choice should be given, because this is the most anti-human thing, to just force you to pay taxes and using that money to kill other people that you don't even know, and their infrastructure. And I think we can actually finish worse in the next 2 years, because people, once they get that, mm-hmm. you know, by writing, I got that, they think it's so stupid. This makes no sense. Like, you know, in the old days where they gave cigarettes to a woman in the maternity wards to calm them down because they're so, quote unquote, they're so hysterical. And then when they figure out, you know, that shit's not that, you know, it's not that healthy smoking. They didn't even have a demonstration of fights. You know what they did? They just unscrewed the ashtrays and put a non-smoking sign off. And that was not, once the people awareness trumps everything, change happens automatically. That's why podcasts are so good.
And, you know, you had mentioned, nowadays, politicians can't even sit in the same room. You never see them publicly sitting in the same room or being, you know, side talking about an issue. Everything is and that, this firing back. And it's just never, you know, I'm not saying politics was perfect years ago, but they could actually sit in a room and take care of business and pass legislation and pass laws without any throwing. But that's where we are now these days with politics, and it's unfortunate because we're the ones that suffer for it.
Well, we're waking up, Rob. I wouldn't go worry. The humans are waking up. Once the humans say we're all sitting in the same boat, you know, if it would work, you have to prove to me that you can kill everybody in this world and just be the, you know, 10 rich guys just sitting on an island. You cannot even handle it. Because the travesty of killing everybody or killing a lot of quantity of people, you think you're excused? You think anybody is excused from that it's never enough? No, we are all in it. And if we don't change it, we will see, okay, more segregation, okay, then when we kill ourselves. We have the power to kill ourselves, or we have the power to work together and have an experience that is mind-blowing how beautiful this world is. When we don't see, Rob is the executive, so I have to be quiet and say nothing, you know? It's just, we are all one. And the next president in real is a part of the team and is not the leader. He's the leader, but as a leader, you're being part of a team. You're not hierarchical. You're not vertical.
Yeah.
You're just, you're right.
Yeah, I'm an average Joe citizen, and I can't watch the news half the time because it's so toxic, and I can't watch the news because it just infuriates me sometimes when I just, like I said, it wasn't perfect years ago, but they could actually sit down and come to a compromise, and people can't compromise anymore. There's no compromise at all.
Rob, it's not dancing. They don't dance. It's binary, either or. And why do you think podcasts get so big? Because humans are talking. You don't get a prefab information newscast that is made by 20 people to get you hooked on their travesty. And by the way, if we would have had, and you know that, 15 years ago, you know, before 2000, when they say the world is going under, the world is keeping going. It's the media and the politics, they're codependent to each other. All the media and the politics are codependent. And the thing is, we believe him, you know, and I found why we believe him, because they really believe that's true. They're so codependent, you know, they're in the metaverse. They're so codependent on each other that because, you know, news gets them an issue, the politician takes it and uses it. Then they talk about the politician and promote him. It's a codependent thing, and they believe it. And because they're very unique, they're elitists. They are dancing with each other in their own world, not with people, with the average Joe like you and me. So they're dancing with each other, and they believe it. So when they say, you watch out, this is going to happen, this attack is happening, the world keeps going on if they say something or not.
Yeah, it does.
And nobody watches news anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. There's, 4 million podcasts out there that wasn't like that 20 years ago. So there's different audiences. There's different views. And I think that's good because we can have views. We can talk. I think that's what's very important in our lives. So, yeah, you know, years ago, the news was you got both sides, and now you don't get both sides. You got one side here and you got one side there, and it's never a commingling of ideas or views. Yeah. It's always us against them, and that's where it gets tiresome after a while. But that's just my little rant right there. Michael McGrooch, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this hour talking to you about life and leadership, teamwork, and other facets. It's been a real pleasure having you on. I know you've been on hundreds of podcasts, so I'm really, really honored you come on mine, so I really appreciate it.
You are not better or worse. Everybody's the same. I'm just dancing with everyone, and I make the best show, try to make the best show that I can.
Absolutely, and maybe I can get you back on and down the road as well.
Anytime.
We can talk more stuff going on. But again, thank you very much.